Welcome back to the Draw Podcast, the Mind, Body, and Bow Connection. I'm Alan Odinson, and today we're going to talk about somebody who might seem like an unusual source of business and life philosophy, Chinggis Khan, or as we say here in the West, Genghis Khan. Now, I have friends who are Mongolian. I have friends who live in Mongolia, so I'm going to use a closer to Mongolian pronunciation of his name, of Chinggis Khan. Now, before we go any further, let's make something clear here. This isn't an episode glorifying conquest. I mean, we know that Chinggis Khan and the Mongol conquest were responsible for an enormous amount of destruction, loss of life. That's part of history, and I'm not really interested in pretending that it's otherwise. That is essentially the nature of how empires are spread, as difficult as that is for a lot of people to really hear. What I'm really interested in is something a little different. I'm interested in how people think, how they adapt, how they survive, how they build, how they lead, and how somebody born into incredibly difficult circumstances managed to organize scattered groups of people into something that eventually changed the course of world history. Because underneath the warfare and the mythology surrounding Chinggis Khan, there are lessons about human nature. Lessons about leadership. There are lessons about business. There are lessons about life. I've started thinking of those lessons, and I've kind of turned it into something I would call the Tao of Chinggis. Not because Chinggis Khan was some sort of Taoist philosopher. He wasn't. I'm using the term Tao here, or Tao, however you want to pronounce it, here in the simplest meaning, the way. The way you move through the world, the way you respond when circumstances change, the way you deal with adversity, and maybe most importantly, the way you continue moving when the path you expected to take disappears. So I've broken these down into 7 lessons here. So let's go through those. The first lesson would be adapt or disappear. One of the most fascinating things about the Mongols was their willingness to learn. They didn't simply encounter something different and dismiss it because it wasn't Mongolian. We even see that now today with a lot of modern Mongolian culture. There's still that aspect of tradition, but we also see how they've adapted to how culture has changed over the years in their area and across the world. If somebody had knowledge that was useful, they paid attention. If another civilization had technology they needed, they learned from it. If they encountered engineers who understood siege warfare, those skills could be incorporated, and they most definitely were. Administrators could be incorporated. Craftsmen can be incorporated. Knowledge could be incorporated. There's something incredibly powerful in that mindset. Because one of the easiest traps in life is believing, this is how I do things. I've seen it in business. I've seen it in archery. I've seen it in the martial arts. And I've certainly seen it in myself. You see, we like to find something that works, and then we turn a technique into an identity. And that can be dangerous. Because once your method becomes part of your identity, changing the method feels like admitting that you were wrong. So people will keep doing things that stopped working years ago. Businesses do it. This is how we've always marketed. This is how our customers have always behaved. This is what our customers have always wanted. This is how we've always sold this product. And meanwhile, the world continues to move. Customers change, technology changes, markets change, everything changes. We're seeing that now with the modern rise of AI. We have people who are running away from this idea, and we have others that are flocking towards it. But the thing that a lot of people can't seem to quite grasp just yet is that it is here. And we can choose to use it, we can choose to abuse it, or we can choose to hide from it. But either way, it's not going to change the fact that it is here. You see, the person who refuses to change eventually gets left behind. And Genghis understood this. I've learned this lesson many times with my business, Odinson Archery. The business I started more than a decade ago is not exactly the same business that I run today. My products have changed. The marketing strategies I use have changed. The website has changed. The way I communicate with customers has changed. Some things worked, and some things failed spectacularly. And some things have worked for years, until they didn't. But that's business, and that's also life. There is no final strategy. There is only the strategy that works right now. And that's something that archery teaches us as well. You can have beautiful technique. You can have the perfect bow. You can have perfectly tuned arrows, but then the wind changes. The distance can change. The terrain changes. The target changes. And suddenly the shot you practiced isn't the shot you're being asked to make anymore. You see, a rigid archer complains about the conditions, but the adaptable archer changes the shot. And that's the first principle of the Tao of Genghis. Do not become loyal to a method. Become loyal to the mission. That moves us to our second lesson. Use what works. This follows naturally from adaptation, right? There's a strange tendency among people to believe that everything has to come from one system. One philosophy, one teacher, one tradition. I've never really believed in that. My own approach to archery has been influenced by different cultures across the world, different historical traditions, different teachers, experimentation, modern equipments, and years of actually shooting arrows. The same thing happened in my martial arts background. You learn something here, something there, you test it, and eventually you stop asking, where did this come from? You start asking, does this work? And that direction definitely matters. Because you see, effectiveness doesn't care about your ego. If something else or somebody else has a better idea, use it. If a competitor does something better than you, study it. If somebody younger than you knows something you don't, listen. If somebody with less experience discovers something valuable, learn from it. You don't lose anything by learning. That's what a lot of people really don't get. Yes, your ego might take a hit, but your capabilities are going to increase. And I'll take capability over ego every single time. That's one of the lessons I find fascinating about the Mongols in general. Their strength wasn't merely what they already knew. Part of their strength was their ability to absorb knowledge. Think about what that means in business and in life in general. Your competitor launches something brilliant, right? You have two choices. I can sit there saying, they stole my market. Or you can ask, what did they understand that I didn't? That question is infinitely more useful and valuable. And this applies outside of business too. Every person you encounter knows something that you don't. Everybody. The question is whether your ego allows you to recognize it or not. The Tao of Genghis says, take wisdom wherever you find it. And that brings us to our third lesson. Merit matters. Genghis Khan is also famous for elevating capable people rather than relying entirely on traditional aristocratic statuses, right? Now, history is always more complicated than the motivational version of history, But the principle is still valuable. Capability matters. One of the fastest ways to destroy an organization is to put people in positions because of status instead of their actual competence. And you see this everywhere. Business, governments, organizations, martial arts schools, archery organizations, even in families we see this. Somebody gets authority because they've been around the longest, or because they seem to know the right person, or because maybe they just look impressive. But leadership isn't a title. Leadership is demonstrated. A person's competence is demonstrated. Loyalty is demonstrated. And character is also demonstrated. I would rather have somebody beside me who has proven themselves 10 times than somebody with 10 titles after their name who disappears the first time things become difficult. This matters in business because eventually every business owner learns something uncomfortable. You cannot build everything alone. And keep in mind, this is coming from somebody who built their business by themselves. Sure, at first you can. You answer all the emails, you build the products, you pack the orders up, you update your website, you create the marketing, you talk to your customers, you handle all the problems. And there's actually something satisfying about that. You know every piece of the machine. But eventually, if the business grows, you become the bottleneck. And that's when leadership becomes different. You have to identify capable people. You have to trust them. And that can be very difficult for many of us. You have to give them responsibility. And sometimes you have to accept that they may actually be better at something than you are. And that's not a threat. That's the entire point. A leader who needs to be the most capable person in every room will eventually surround himself with people who aren't capable. A strong leader does the opposite. He looks around the room and he thinks, I want people here who can do things that I cannot. And Genghis Khan was amazing at this. You look back through his promotion of generals, whether it be Jebe or Subutai, he took these guys who were the top of their class, the top generals he had, and he put them in positions to be able to lead armies and set up attacks that he himself just did not have the ability to do. And this is one of the reasons that the Mongolian Empire was able to spread at such a pace that it was, because he surrounded himself with capable people who also were on the same mission as he was. And this takes us to our fourth lesson. Mobility is power. One of the great advantages that the Mongol armies had was mobility. They could cover enormous distances. They could appear where opponents didn't expect them. They could change direction. They could retreat, reorganize, and attack somewhere else. They weren't simply powerful. They were mobile. And this might be one of the greatest advantages that you can have, whether it's building a business or just getting your life in order. People look at large companies and they think to themselves, how could I possibly compete with that? I'm sure the Mongols thought that too many times when before their empire was built. They would see these massive armies and they would think to themselves, how can I compete with that? They have more money. They have more troops / employees. They have more advertising, more infrastructure, more everything. And yes, that's true, but they also have something that you don't have. And Genghis understood this well. They have weight. A huge organization can have tremendous power, but turning it can take forever. You see, a small business can change direction this afternoon. I can look at something happening with Odinson Archery and decide for myself, you know what, this isn't working, and I can change it with the snap of a finger. I don't need a board meeting. I don't need permission from 12 departments. I don't need six-month implementation plans. I can move. And that's an advantage. And too many small businesses throw that advantage away because they're trying to imitate large corporations. They want complicated systems, complicated meetings, complicated processes and hierarchies. But why? They fail to see their strength. Your size gives you mobility. Use it. You see, the horse archer doesn't defeat a heavier opponent by standing directly in front of him and pretending to be heavier. He uses movement. He controls distance. He chooses where the engagement happens. And business works the same way. Life works the same way. You don't fight your opponent's fight. If another company can beat you on price, you don't compete on price. Compete on knowledge. Compete on service. Compete on authenticity, specialization. Compete somewhere that they cannot easily follow you. I find this in my martial arts training particularly. Being an older individual, I'm in my late 40s now, and I train and compete a lot of times with people that are in much better shape, that are much younger than me, and they've got everything going for them. They are in competition shape. And if I try to compete with them on the same level that they are, they're going to win every single time. You see, I have to modify my strategies. I have to use my knowledge. I have to use the things that I specialize in that maybe they don't, and attack them from angles they don't see coming. That's the advantage that I have. Because, you see, I'm not in the competition world anymore. So I have nothing to lose. I'm completely mobile in that situation. It's important to understand that even though I'm speaking about things like business here, understand that this is a mirror of life. You can insert life into small business. Just remove that small business phrase and insert life into it. And take that large corporation or large business, remove that and insert whatever your obstacle is. And there's your mirror. See, the Tao of Chinggis says, when you cannot overpower something, outmaneuver it. And that takes us to our fifth lesson. Build systems, not just effort. There's another lesson here that entrepreneurs, in particular, desperately need. Working harder is not always the answer. I know if you're like me, you've probably heard that your entire life. But at some point, you need systems. You see, the Mongol Empire eventually depended on organization, communication networks, logistics, command structures, administrations, and delegating tasks across enormous distances. That's the difference between accomplishing something once and creating something capable of continuing. And this is something I've learned myself. For years, I've been able to solve problems through sheer effort alone, just an audacity to not fail. If something needs to get done, I'll do more. I'll work later. I'll work harder. I'll figure it out, you know? And trust me, there's value to that, but there's also a ceiling that a lot of people don't see. Eventually, there are no more hours to give. You can't scale yourself infinitely. And this applies to life as much as it does with business. Motivation isn't a system. You see, discipline gets you closer. But even discipline can get exhausted. We hear so much in the space of life coaching about being disciplined. But even your discipline can get exhausted. You see, implementing systems reduce the amount of energy required to do that right thing. If you want to train regularly, create a training schedule. If you want to save money, automate it. If you want to improve your archery, record your sessions. You run a business, build processes for things you repeatedly do. Don't just solve the same problem 50 times. solve it once, and then build a system that solves it the next 49 times. And that's how something becomes bigger than your individual effort. Genghis learned this well. And without setting systems in place, the Mongolian Empire never would have flourished. If you notice, if you look throughout history, you'll notice that when Genghis passed away, that these systems started falling apart. And in turn, the Mongolian Empire began to follow suit as well. Did it take time? Yes, but that is an attribute to how strong the systems Genghis had set up. And that takes us to our sixth lesson. The mission is not the method. And this may be the biggest lesson of the entire episode here. I know what you're actually trying to accomplish, right? I always know what I'm actually trying to accomplish. And you know what you're actually trying to accomplish as well. Because people confuse goals with methods over time. And let's say somebody says, I want to own a successful business. Okay, why? Maybe what they actually want is independence. Maybe they actually want freedom. Maybe they want control over their time. Maybe they want financial security. Maybe they want to create something meaningful. The business is not necessarily the mission. It is one possible vehicle toward the mission. And that's an important distinction that many people miss out on. Because sometimes the vehicle breaks. And people think the dream died with it. But it didn't. You just need another vehicle. You see, we all think to ourselves about the Mongolian army and their mounted archers, their horse archers. But you see, the Mongols had many horses because they know that a horse will get tired. And they would wage their attack. They would circle back because the systems they had in place allowed them to continue the attack while they swapped horses while the others rest. You just need another vehicle. Yeah, I've experienced this many times myself. I've had ideas that I was convinced were definitely going to work. Products I thought would sell, marketing campaigns I thought would take off, projects I thought people would love, and sometimes nothing happened. And you can't take that personally. I mean, you can decide the world doesn't understand you, or you can just ask, what is the actual objective here? Once you understand that, you can find another path. There's an old trap in warfare. You become so committed to the battle plan that you forget the reason the battle plan existed. You see, life, it works the same way. We become committed to jobs, businesses, relationships with ideas, versions of ourselves, and sometimes the hardest thing isn't fighting harder. Sometimes the hardest thing is admitting the route no longer leads where I'm trying to go. Then changing direction. You see, that's not failure. That's simply navigation. And that brings us to our final and seventh lesson, the composite bow. Because naturally, you had to know this conversation would always end with the bow, right? This brings me right back to the bow. It always does. Because there's something almost poetic about the weapon most associated with the Mongol horse archer, the composite bow. Think about what a traditional composite bow actually is. Wood, horn, sinew, glue. All these different materials, different properties, they all have different strengths. And on their own, none of them really produce a complete weapon at all. But together, they become something far greater. The horn handles the compression. The sinew can handle the tension. The wood core gives the structure. Each material does what it does best. And together they create a bow capable of storing tremendous energy in a relatively compact package. You see, there's a lesson in that. We spend so much time trying to eliminate our weaknesses. Maybe we should spend more time combining our strengths. You don't need to become everything. You don't need to understand every single thing. You need to understand what you're good at. Understand what you're not good at. And then build accordingly. That's true when building a team. That's true when you're building a business. And it's most definitely true when you're building yourself. Maybe discipline is your wood. Maybe experience is the horn. Failure is your sinew. And knowledge is your glue. All different pieces. Some pleasant, some painful. But together, they create tension. The tension stores energy. Every archer can understand that. A bow without tension cannot launch an arrow. And maybe that's true of us too. The things that pull against us, the difficult years, the failures, the disappointments, the losses, perhaps those things aren't merely obstacles. Sometimes they are the very things storing the energy that eventually moves us forward. So what is the Tao of Chinggis? It's not conquest. It's not domination. And it's certainly not pretending that a medieval conqueror should be our moral compass. It's something simpler. Adapt. When the world changes, change with it. Learn. Take useful knowledge wherever you find it. Choose capability. Surround yourself with people who make the whole stronger, that make you stronger. Stay mobile. Don't allow success to make you heavy. Build systems. Create something that doesn't require you to personally push every wheel. And above all, remember the mission. Methods change, plans change, businesses change, people change, life changes. The target can even change. But if you know what you're actually trying to build, you can find another road. Maybe that's one of the greatest lessons history can teach us. The people who survive change aren't necessarily the strongest. They're often the ones willing to release their attachments to how things were supposed to happen. And archery teaches us the same lesson every time we draw the bow. You prepare, you establish your structure, you focus on the target, you build tension, and eventually you have to release. You cannot control the arrow after it leaves the string. You can only prepare yourself for the shot and then respond to what happens next. Maybe that's the Tao of Chinggis. Know your destination, prepare yourself, stay adaptable, use what works, and when the world changes, keep moving. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I certainly enjoyed talking to you today. And remember, if you like this show, if you enjoy the content, please let us know. Leave a comment. Give us a subscription. You can find this podcast everywhere. We'd love to hear back from you. You can find all of my archery equipment, as well as writings, free training, and everything at odinsonarchery.com. So until next time, my friends, keep drawing. Keep moving and keep growing.